What's up, buddies?
Hello.
Hey, dude.
How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
That's not a... that's, okay. That's good. That's good.
That's not a way to say hello in English. I know.
Okay. That's an answer.
Yes.
Okay. Welcome. Welcome, everybody.
Yes.
This is the first time we start
recording
in English. Mm-hmm. Basically, we start in Spanish, but now it's different.
Yeah, we are just trying something new, and the people who listened the first part of this chapter, we can say. Yeah.
This is the second part.
Yes.
Of a first part in Spanish. If you want to hear us in Spanish,
yes,
just go there.
Yes. So this is the second part, and we are having a really good time with Zoe. So, Zoe, you are here again.
Well, yep.
we just want to introduce yourself again.
Yeah. Because
it's like, a new chapter, you know. Well, so Zoe, it's from the States, and you know that we are Peruvians. But we were talking a little bit about the Spanish learning and about the different languages also a little bit. Well, now with Zoe was telling us her experience in Peru. And now we want to continue this interview. And I would like to know, once you get here in Peru, what was like the most difficult thing in Spanish? I mean, for you, was difficult the grammar? Was difficult to understand other people or to talk in Spanish? What was like the most difficult part of learning Spanish for you?
I think grammar has always been a difficult thing for me. In the Spanish class that I took for most of high school, we kind of didn't go very in-depth in grammar. My teacher had kind of this point of view where you, the way that you should learn language or new languages is the way that you learn language as a child, which is not having that crutch of translating between like English and Spanish. Just speaking in Spanish and like learning how to use the language that you have to help yourself communicate if you don't know a word. So I didn't get a lot of grammar specifically taught to me. So I think having a lot of situations and where a lot of different forms of grammar come into different conversations or different learning spaces, that was always kind of a struggle for me.
Oh, that's good. That's good. And about your the line time of your learning and your life, what do you think it's the most the crucial part that made you learn Spanish,
the language?
Maybe some experience at the school. Or some experience, some cultural experience, or something different.
Yeah, I think I had a kind of an interesting experience. A couple months before I came to Peru, is I was working at a jewelry shop and I had a customer who only spoke Spanish, and I kind of had that moment of like, oh, I can use this like outside of my schooling, because I love the idea of being able to communicate with people from like different places or backgrounds. And so it was kind of that moment where I'm like, because the part of the United States that I live in, there are a lot of Spanish speakers here, so you will like run into people who speak Spanish or kind of only speak Spanish. And so it's not just, like, useful when I'm traveling outside of the country. It's even useful, like, at my home, which I think is really valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you say something interesting. Yep. And I think also language can help you to have more opportunities. I mean, if you're searching for work or, I don't know, if you're in some project. So for you, what was like, do you consider that Spanish opened new doors for you, talking about like jobs or new works?
Yeah, a lot of like jobs that I've applied for, they like will ask like if you can speak Spanish. I've had a roommate who works in kind of like the service industry in restaurants in Portland, and he has like a very good grasp on Spanish because of that experience.
Yeah.
So I think like especially in the US and especially in the area that I live in, like it gives you more opportunities to find jobs, especially because finding work in the US is really, really difficult, even at like a base level. So having that like skill of being able to communicate with multiple types of people is very, very useful, especially in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it.
Yeah. Maybe if okay, it's a reality. It's a real thing that mm-hmm. Spanish is one of the language of the world. It's one of the language of the globalization and one of the most important languages. But just not for that. Okay, if you want to learn Spanish, I think you have many. Many reasons, not just jobs
or
actually just learning every language. It's possible. For example, you want to learn Japanese or want to learn Nahuatl. It's an indigenous language. You will open some new part of the universe of the human being. Okay.
Well, that's one of the most important reasons to learn language, because you have the opportunity to know different people from different cultures, different customs, and I think obviously you're gonna have a better opportunity to find a job, but it's not exactly the reason why you learned language, right?
Yeah. For example, what do you think, Zoe? People who want to learn Chinese or people who want to learn Japanese, there's a difference. Even I read memes. Or until it's correct to pronounce memes, memes.
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 Memes, okay. Memes about that. For example, people who want to learn Chinese. I am learning Chinese because of it's the language of the future. I have this job, or I could have this other job,
yeah,
this positions.
Got
in my
it. Mm-hmm.
And why I'm learning Japanese? Because I want to read in my manga. I want to be a otaku, or
I want to understand One Piece.
But this is a good reasons also.
Yeah,
it's not bad. Okay.
Yeah, and obviously it's gonna give you more opportunities, but I think you can have different reasons to learn a language. So. Do you consider that there's a part in grammar that was like really hard for you to understand from Spanish, I mean?
I think it wasn't so, like, I was okay with most of the grammar. Like reflexives really are difficult for mm-hmm. me because things change. But I think what's interesting about grammar is that, like, when you are learning a language natively, you don't have that experience where people sit down and tell you this is how you say something in this tense and these are how you say different words in this tense.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like, how I was learning not so much in high school. Well, a little bit in high school, depending on which teachers I have. But that's kind of how I, like, learned grammar in Spanish, which made it difficult because I had to think about, like, the context of what I was talking about. You guys also have some different tenses that we don't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's... that was a little bit difficult. Mm-hmm. You guys separate things that we don't. We have some things more like combined that Spanish has separated, which yeah. I think is interesting.
I wonder, for example, in the same way you are talking about this, for example, you talked about the verbs that pronominal verbs.
Yeah,
okay?
The pronominal ones.
But for example, the phrasal verbs in English.
I
could say the same thing. I don't mm-hmm. understand. How do you understand that? Or how do you figure?
Just context, I think, right?
Yeah. For example, yeah.
And yeah, and I think something that is really hard also for you, it's the different conjugations that we have in our grammar, mm-hmm. and I know that you don't have it in different times like we have. I mean, if you say something in Spanish and you are in first person, you will say it completely mm-hmm. different in the past and in the past participle and also in the future. So you have different conjugations for different times in Spanish. So I think that's one of the things that make Spanish a little bit difficult to understand.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't, like, with a few, like, ways you're taught, like, with pronouns, talking about different people in different ways, we change it in some instances, but in most instances, it's the exact same word. Like, I went, she went, he went, they went.
They went, yeah, and different persons, yeah. Different times, yeah.
So sometimes in Spanish, because I have to separate them, I tend to mix them up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, so
when I hear Zoe talking in Spanish, I can, for example, say that she has a good pronunciation of Spanish, reasonable, or and it's not just okay. It's a good pronunciation. It's not perfect, but it's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And what tips could you do, or could you give to other people
mm-hmm.
yeah, for example, learning your Spanish or your pronunciation? Many people say that Spanish pronunciation is difficult, but I don't know.
I wouldn't find it difficult, though I have found that I have the inability to speak other romantic languages like French and Italian because yeah. I will go into a Spanish accent.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are, because the way that you learn how to speak, I think some people may find Spanish difficult because the way that things are pronounced are the ways that some people's mouths aren't used to moving, if that makes sense.
That's true.
I think, like, when learning this kind of stuff, a lot of the time, like, I know what helped me was, like, listening to music in Spanish or watching, like, movies and TV shows in Spanish, because you're not just, like, getting this education of, like, oh, this is what this word means, this is what this word means. You're actually getting an understanding of how people speak it natively. And I had a couple of Spanish teachers who had, one was natively from Spain, one of them had spent a bunch of time in, like, Spain and Costa Rica and stuff, so they were able to, like, learn through, one, being in that culture, but if you can't be in that culture, like, learning through media that culture produces, I think, is super helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. So, can you say that now, when you want to just watch, like, a TV show on Netflix and other platforms, do you consider that you can understand all the Spanish without subtitles?
For the most part, it depends on, for instance, if I'm watching shows from Spain like Money Heist or Elite, I need the subtitles because Spain speakers speak very,
yeah.
very differently.
Even for
than
us, they're
people in Latin America
Islam's
do.
Different, yeah.
But otherwise, like, I think I would have, like, a handle on it. Most of the time it's just if I'm in the right headspace. I need to be thinking in Spanish to... it's kind of this, like, switch in my brain between Spanish and English where if I'm going to understand it, I kind of need to be in that headspace where I'm thinking or, like, speaking in Spanish to fully comprehend. But if I'm not, I can get a general sense of what's going on.
Okay, got it, yeah. Well, but that's a really good level also, I consider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when I was in Peru, I went to a lot of movies, so many, many movies that, like, didn't have subtitles because, you know, we were in Peru and why would they? Mm-hmm. And I remember I came home and watched the newest Spider-Man movie, mm-hmm. Far From Home, with my mom. And I had a thought where I was like, oh, the first time I watched this, I watched it in Spanish. But I still, like, understood everything that had happened. Like, there was nothing I had been particularly confused about when I rewatched it, which I thought was interesting.
Okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
I wonder if you have a favorite word or favorite phrase in Spanish. Maybe you... Do you have? You have one?
I have a favorite word, and that word is madrugada, because we don't have that word in English.
Yeah, that's true. Madrugada. That's, mm-hmm. And it's not like, I don't know how you can say that, like, very early in the morning or something.
Yeah, we just say early morning or, like, super late at night, like, depending on the context. Yeah. Like, if I'm saying I stayed up until 3 o'clock in the morning, I would say that I stayed up really late, or I stayed, mm-hmm. like, you know, until the early morning. Not, like, we don't have a word for that. And I love the way that it sounds, too.
Wow, that, well, that's,
yeah, you make
that's
me
curious.
Think. Yeah, you make me think about this word.
Madrugada.
Didn't notice.
Sounds good.
Hmm? Yeah, I didn't notice that madrugada doesn't have, like, an exactly translated word. So
there are many, many words that you can't translate.
There's a lot. Yeah. I never think
and,
about madrugada.
Yeah, going to Spanish and vice versa.
Yeah. So for you, there's now you talk a little bit about your favorite word in Spanish,
mm-hmm.
and you said that doesn't have, like, a translation. So for you, there's some English words that you can translate to the Spanish. Did you find some words in English that you definitely can translate completely in Spanish?
I'm gonna have to think about it. Because
yeah.
It's not something that I've ever, like, thought about. Because when I'm learning a new language, I'm like, oh, that's new. But uh-huh. not so much in my native tongue. I think it's a thing where in Spanish, like... things are more stretched out,
mm-hmm.
Than in English, where this is a really interesting example, but it's kind of a context from my life. When I had a boyfriend in high school, mm-hmm. his contact in my phone was mi príncipe de los estrellas, which is very, like, long in
That's
Spanish,
true.
But in English it would just be my, like, my star prince.
Star prince. Two syllables.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So it's very,
You're very,
like,
practical. Eight syllables. You're really practical. Yeah, compared to... Príncipe de las... Wow, that's true.
Yeah, it's a good.
I was 15.
Two syllables.
I like
two syllables
nickname.
Versus eight syllables. Okay, yeah, that's a good example.
Yeah. Wow. So I can't really think of words, but definitely, like, the way that things are said. We have, it's shorter.
And it's
but
cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Príncipe de las estrellas.
Suena muy extraño para nosotros, porque estamos como muy acostumbrados a decir otro tipo de apelativos para nuestros enamorados, enamoradas y demás, ¿no? Príncipe de las... Me ganaste, Zoe.
No, it's perfecto, perfecto. We wanted to make, it's part of the program.
Yeah.
We wanted to ask you something about mm-hmm. our English. Could you give us
an advice
or opinion about our language? For example, what do you think about the English of Jimena or my English? And maybe what difference you can find, because
you know, everybody talks completely
because
different.
We want to improve our English.
Totally. Mm-hmm. I think you both speak very well. I think the way that you both go into sentences is a little bit erring on the side of people who natively speak Spanish, because mm-hmm. I think, like, we have different sentence structures grammatically. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably, like, a thought that I have to improve your English is, like, focusing on the way that English people say sentences, because it is inherently different.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. And what about the English of and comparison? Comparing.
We don't have to compare, Boris. Yeah. If you want it, okay, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, you know. But well, if you can, you notice that we speak with a Latino accent or something like that. You can notice, for example, when you are, I don't know, in the street, or you talk with someone who is from other part, like I don't know, Puerto Rico or maybe Peru or Colombia. Can you notice that she or he is from other part of the world, or you can say that
Latino, definitely.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, usually.
Yes.
I had a friend in high school who was from Puerto Rico, and like you could definitely tell that like he was from somewhere differently. It's interesting because unlike in like Cusco, where you meet people from literally everywhere or only Germany for some reason, it's kind of rare to meet people who are, like, specifically from foreign places in the area that I live. We get a lot of tourists from Japan. I'm not quite sure why. And there's a lot of students at my school who are from Asian countries, and you can tell that they've, like, grown up speaking different languages because of the way that they speak. Like, they go around speaking English, because it is a very difficult language inherently.
That's it.
Yeah.
Okay, Zoe, we appreciate a lot and your time, and thank you so much for being here. And
of course,
it's a very pleasure to me to re-have contact. How do you say that in English? Is to there's an expression like I don't know.
What do you want to say?
To have contact with some people, to
like
keep in contact.
To keep in touch.
Keep in touch. Yeah, yeah. To be in touch. Yeah, that's it. So, thank you again, and thank you everyone as well for having this time and hearing us.
Yes, thank you so much to everybody who's listening this podcast. So
we
just want to say something. Mm-hmm. We want to play one more time. Mm-hmm. Well, in the first part of this episode, we talk a little bit of Spanish, and also we have like a game.
You're talking about the tongue twisters again, right?
That's true. Yeah, it's time for us to read a tongue twister in English.
I sent you something, Zoe.
Yeah, I got it.
So now it's our time.
You see, a lot of English tongue twisters are just repeating things multiple times.
Yes.
Okay. So he's the one who's going to choose.
The good thing is that here we have 50 tongue twisters, so you can choose one for us.
Okay.
50.
See, these ones I know.
Wow. Yeah, one for Jimena and one for me.
All right, Jimena, number. Oh, I don't want to be. Some of them are so long and some of them are so short. Let's go with number 48.
48, okay. Okay. This one, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Askung sat on a stump and thunk the stump stunk, but the stump thunk the sunk stunk. I don't know if that's correct.
okay, yeah.
You got it.
I need a, okay,
that was very
the second
close.
Number.
Number two.
for Boris.
Para mí,
biggest.
Para
you
mí, uno
know
fácil,
that have to
por
be
favor.
Biggest. Yeah, I know that. Boris is really good at reading and...
But in Spanish.
No. You don't confuse the words, I think. That's an advantage.
I don't know. Okay.
So maybe you should wrap it.
Number two.
Two. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay,
I will try it.
I believe in you.
I hope to be understood. Betty Butter bought some butter, but she said the butter's bitter. If put it in my butter, it will make my butter bitter, but a bit of better butter will make my butter better. So
wow.
It was better Betty Butter bought a bit of better butter.
Wow.
Yeah?
That was long.
Gracias.
You weren't kidding when I said you have to choose the biggest.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the other number one and number three are like very, very, very common ones.
Okay.
Number two is not one I had heard before.
Number one? Number what?
number one and number three.
Oh, yeah. Sí, claro.
And I
want you to read one of these tongue twisters. Okay.
Okay.
Number is the. Okay. The. The 11.
11.
Okay.
11. Oh. I've got a date at 7:45. I'll see you at the gate, so don't be late.
That's not a tongue
yeah.
twister.
That's not far.
That's no. not fair. Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's not fair. Because
not fair. You are a native, and this is not a twister. So
<Yeah.
laughs> maybe this one, Fussy Wussy was a bear. What?
Oh yeah.
Fussy Wussy had no hair. Fussy Wussy wasn't fussy. Was he? That's
fuzzy
easy also. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, we have the Z pronunciation that you guys kind of pronounce it more as an S, where for us it's like a hard, like, Z sound.
Yeah, Z. Mm-hmm. How do you pronounce the nine? Could you read it?
Number nine?
Number nine.
Fuzzy Wuzzy was a bear. Fuzzy Wuzzy had no hair. Fuzzy Wuzzy wasn't fuzzy, was he?
Fuzzy
Wuzzy. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it's also like Z, the one that you
Z.
use a lot in Portuguese.
Portuguese, yeah.
Yeah,
Portuguese
that's why I think it's easier for you. Also.
Probably.
When you
need to
when
practice
you,
just.
When you say something with S in English, you sometimes you say like Z.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
I noticed that.
Okay.
That's
yes.
interesting. Because you sound like a Portuguese, I don't know, like a Brazilian people.
okay, I will.
Yeah, in this part,
I will see.
What do you pronounce the is?
We hear my recordings. Well, Zoe, thank you again for your time. And
of course.
And that's all, I think. And what do you want to say to our people?
Nothing. Thanks just for listening our podcast. And well, it's our first episode talking in English. So for us, it has been like a big challenge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think about this sensation in this moment. So we did this like a good Latino, because we didn't plan exactly this. We planned, but exactly how does it feel? I didn't do that.
Yeah,
I miss how everyone in Peru was late to things. Because no one in the U.S. is late to anything. Like, if you have a time you have to be somewhere, you have to be there on time. And I miss just, like, being able to relax for, like, 10 minutes after showing up somewhere.
Exactly. That's part of our culture. That's
part of our culture. Yeah. And I think I'm not proud of it. You know,
it's 10 minutes of tolerance, 10 minutos de tolerancia. Nope. This is the good thing, yeah.
1 hour of tolerance.
No.
I think we're too rushed, personally. I think we don't take the time to relax here, so I appreciate that in your guys' culture.
I think probably that's like one of the first thing that you notice from Peruvian people. It's like the first thing that everybody comes from different part of the world used to say, oh, okay, you are not going to be on time. Peruvians are not going to be on time. That's something that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zoe, maybe you have a message for the world.
Oh, God.
No. Now that you're going to be a president, please give us your message for the world. What do you say, message for the world? Yeah. No, just give some words that you're going to say in... you know, our podcast, or to, I don't know, North American or Peruvian people.
To
so
the few people
general.
who will hear us.
To the 10 people who hear us.
10 is better than nothing. Well, thank you both very, very much for having me. I appreciated it. And yeah, I think it's valuable to like study languages. And I'm like so happy that I have this relationship with you, Boris, from like meeting you in Peru. And I think, like, if you're going to do anything in life, you should travel and learn about people from different places, because you're going to, like, learn so much about yourself and so much about the
thanks.
World. And there's nothing more valuable than that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Zoe.
For me, well, I consider that you are a person who can easily have, like, a conversation. So, yeah, I can say that it was really glad to meet you, Zoe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm glad to meet you too.
Okay, so we're gonna see you next time. Yeah.
Sí. Hasta la próxima. Cuídense. Chao.
Thank you so much. Bye. Take care of you.